morning, I'm Marilyn Smith. Coming up, we'll hear from our usual panel of local restaurant critics. But first, we're renaming this program, Chefs in the City, celebrating local chefs and the innovative cuisine of Central Ohio. Each month, we'll shine a light on the best and the brightest, the most accomplished and innovative chefs in the city and throughout Central Ohio. Joining us today to kick off Chefs in the City, and you have a lot to live up to now, is Chef John Dornback of Bozzi Italia in Victorian Village. With him is the executive director of Columbus Dine Originals, Catherine Moore. By way of background, John Dornback is a native of Cleveland who trained at the French Culinary Institute in New York. He worked in Manhattan for about 15 years before opening Bozzi with his wife, Trish. A native of Washington, D.C. and a graduate of Mount Vernon Women's College, Catherine Moore is the executive director of Columbus Dine Originals, a job she likens to herding cats with a few more adjectives thrown in there. John, how long have you been involved with Dine Originals?
Oh, this is our ninth year that we've been partnering with them, and each year it just gets bigger, and the community gets more excited about it every year.
So when it started out, give me a sense of where it was.
Well, it was a smaller group. The idea was, sort of strength in numbers. The idea behind Dine Originals, the, collection of like-minded restaurateurs trying to compete in a market that saturated with a lot of big players. And we needed a way to get exposure. So we started out with, various group outings where we would do tastings and small fundraisers that we became a part of that were received positively. And then we were looking for a local partnership that we could promote and keep those dollars that we were raising here locally. And the Buckeye Ranch was a pretty obvious choice, at least for me. My wife and business partner, Trish, has been a member of the staff there for probably 15 years there.
She's a psychiatrist.
Yes. And, these are local families and children that are, being treated for any number of reasons. And it's a wonderful group. And the Dine Originals were local businesses supporting local neighborhoods and employing local people. And it was a perfect match, I thought.
Catherine, how long have you been with the group?
4 years now.
So what's your goal? What's your mission? What are you interested in doing?
Well, one of the things that we work on, and it's hard to get into a soundbite, but it's the educational component, and it's explaining to our patrons why it's important to be mindful when you're choosing where to spend your dining dollars. That by choosing a locally owned restaurant, so much more of your dollar that you spend there stays in the local economy. And that's because Bozzi uses a local, they would use a local accountant, attorney. They get their menus printed locally. They have their signs made locally, where a chain restaurant is doing those things in LA or in Chicago, and the dollars just fly out of our local economy. So part of my challenge is, how do we talk about how fabulous our restaurants are, and they are, but also why it's important to spend your dollar there.
So A Taste of Dine Originals is coming up May 9th. It's at Capital University now for the second year in a row. The first one I attended was down sort of where the Audubon...
Fieldhouse at the Audubon
right,
Center.
Educational Center.
It was very crowded, and parking seemed to be a little bit of a challenge. So how is Capital working out? Is this a permanent home?
Yes. That really has been a challenge for us. And part of it is that Dine Originals has grown. So when we first launched the event, we were looking for space for 25 restaurants to set up.
And it's doubled,
And it's doubled. So that's a huge footprint for a special event. We had been at the Smith Brothers Hardware Building and loved being there, and they were incredibly gracious about they kept expanding what they would allow us to use. Then we tried the Audubon, and the nightmare of that episode was it was the hottest day in recorded weather history for that date in May. And so we were, you know, too tight and too warm. So we're at Capital University's Field House, and it's this beautiful, huge facility. We have plenty of room, so we've even incorporated a farmer's market. Our partner, Edible Columbus Magazine, brings 18 vendors. We get to meet the honey guy. We get to introduce our chefs to some cheese artisan makers. That's been a fun component. So with this extra space, we can do extra programming fun things that just weren't possible in the other venues.
Don't forget the wine guys. It's important.
So we have, as well as our 48 restaurants, we have wines coming from 30 vineyards. And what they told me when I first started, they said, understand this, you can drink $100 worth of wine at the first two stations because people bring their A game to this.
There's a little competition that makes it fun.
Yeah, yeah.
Even among the chefs, right, Jerry?
Yes, definitely. So now, how does it work? Are you given assignments? Do you tell Catherine what you're going to bring? How is the distribution of food?
Remember that thing I said about herding cats? Getting menu selections out of 48 restaurants. Everybody does their thing.
I think it's sort of a showcase for the restaurants to, you know, the membership is so broad, from wonderful delis to high-end restaurants, that everybody has a specialty, and this is a chance for them to show it. So a lot of the restaurants and partners are, you know, sort of seasonally coming up with their spring menus or summer ideas, and this is a chance to really get it out in front of a lot of people and have some fun with it and get instant feedback on it. And it's also a chance to push yourself and, you know, represent yourself and the organization, and you know, really show Columbus that we have some great resources here in the city.
We're talking with Bozzi Italia chef John Dornbach and Catherine Moore of Columbus Dine Originals, along with Rich Terapag, who's joined us here during this first segment. Do you try and keep costs under control? Is that an issue?
I think for what we do at Bozzi, because we're so small, and we really don't have a marketing campaign. We sort of had a guerrilla marketing campaign for the 10 years we've been in business.
Well, it worked.
It's worked.
Yeah.
These types of events, especially this event, has just been great for us because it puts us in front of our regular customer base, but also with it growing every year, we're in front of much more people. So for us, you know, we like to go all out. And for all the members in Dine Originals, they realize the opportunity. So, you know, the restaurants put forth the product and the time, but I think the return on that, not only for the sponsorship to Buckeye Ranch, but for the individual restaurants and the exposure, is huge. And it's just the camaraderie to get out and work with your peers, see your customers in a different setting, and sort of be part of it in real time, as opposed to behind the doors of the kitchen and, you know, everybody else is out in front having fun. So it's a great event.
It is, and it's, you know, it's great because your visitors, the attendees, I'm a Bexley guy, as all these people know, because we talk about it all the time. I don't get up to Powell that often.
Right.
It gives me an opportunity to at least get a bite from some restaurants in Powell or down to the end of Cedar Falls. So you get a lot of exposure geographically.
Absolutely,
in the city.
That's a great point. It does bring us together. We should think about building another event, Catherine.
Well, one of the things that we did with our new space at Capital last year that we'll be doing again is we grouped the restaurants by neighborhood. So for years, we had done this A to Z, and about every third or fourth year, apparently Elena would say, I don't want to be first this year, so we'd reverse it from Z to A. But now we're doing it by neighborhood, so you can see what's happening in Powell, you can see what's happening in the Short North, and, you know, maybe make some plans or explore a neighborhood that you wouldn't get to using that organizational tool.
How far out can you plan ahead in terms of menu, because you may not know what's going to be available to you?
Right. It's tough. Again, back to Catherine herding cats, you know, they try to get it from us 6 or 8 weeks previous to the event.
Good luck.
For a lot of us, you know, again, it's sort of an opportunity to really, you know, put something out there. And it's hard. You know, the weather changes. We're going through a sort of a late spring now, or it's been a wet, cold spring, but we're back on track, and I think you always have to have a plan B or C. sometimes D, depending on the weather.
And our reason for trying to gather menus ahead of time is just to take a quick look and say, oh my gosh, you know what? We've got way too much salmon this year, or it looks like everybody's got lamb on the brain. So let's.
Well, and there are trends and cycles that restaurants go through. So then what would you get back to them and say, you're one lamb over the line?
We just, send out an email to that little group and say, does anybody want to rethink? We're feeling like we may be a little weighted. And you know what? It's sort of that amazing thing about a potluck supper. You can't figure out how it always somehow works perfectly, but it does. And that's this. It's really unusual to find that we've got too much weight in any one area.
And again, the restaurants are so diverse, even with like ingredients, I think there's a twist on them, and each one stands on their own.
Well, of course, every chef puts his own or her own mark on it. So is this pretty much an all-day event for you? When you get up in the morning, you're prepping, delivering, serving?
It's a couple-day event. You know, there's a lot of work behind the scenes before the actual event itself. So, you know, a day or two before, you know, we're bringing product in and prepping it for the event and then for the restaurant also. And it's much easier to work at the space now and then space has been at the past, but it is a lot. There's a lot of logistics and loading and unloading and parking, and you can't park here. And, you know, you'd think they'd treat us a little better because we're superstar chefs, but we still have to park in the farthest lot. But apparently this year they have
a golf. Well, that helps to keep your feet on the ground.
Yes, but apparently they have a golf cart to pick us up this year, so I'm very excited about that.
There is lots of parking in and around for those who were attending.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's very easy access this year.
The Capital University students will have already graduated and be off campus. So
that's
part of
the
timing.
Morning, actually.
Yeah.
So at other food-related events, some of the culinary students from Columbus State help out. Is that the case here?
We don't use them for this event. One of the things that's special, because there are a number of people that do a taste format of one sense or another for events. One of the things that distinguishes this one is these are our owners and our chefs. These are not interns and these are not frontline employees. So for our guest, it is an opportunity to get to talk with Johnny, who when he's in his restaurant doing his thing on a Saturday night, he does not have time to come out and chat. So we try to maintain that face of each of our restaurants. And we certainly collaborate with Columbus State's program, and we have a scholarship that we fund out of the revenues from this event for a student in the 3-year program. We're really proud of that.
So is this a good night or a bad night to go out to dinner in Columbus?
I think every night's a great night to go out in Columbus. Please go out and support your local restaurants. I think it's great. One of the neatest things is, to Catherine's point about going out and actually being able to take time and talk to patrons and new people that we haven't met before, is that it gives us a chance to let people within our organization step up to the next challenge of being in the kitchen while the chef is away and stepping into new roles. So there's a big cycle, and it's a positive thing.
So once again, the day and time?
It is Thursday, May the 9th, 6 p.m. till 9 p.m., and tickets are available at www.dineoriginalscolumbus.com.
So if you just type in Dine Originals, usually you can get there.
One would hope.
I want to thank you both very much. We, as I mentioned at the top of the show, are renaming the show Chefs in the City, celebrating local chefs and innovative cuisine in Central Ohio. And I think that you've highlighted both beautifully. Thank you both, John Dornbeck of Bazzi Italia in Victorian Village and Catherine Moore of Columbus Dine Originals. When we come back, Miriam Bowers Abbott will be joining Rich and I to talk about the Columbus food scene.
This is 89.7 NPR News. Sunshine today with a high of 76 degrees. Partly cloudy for tonight and a low of 51. More sunshine Saturday with a high of 71, and the nice weather continues on Sunday. Sunny and a high of 73. Support comes from Assistive Technology of Ohio. AT Ohio is now accepting donations of used computers to be refurbished and made available to Ohioans with disabilities. AT Ohio offers a variety of disability programs and services, including a device loan library. Donation information at atohio.org. Support for 89.7 comes from Home Care Assistance. In-home care for older adults with a philosophy of promoting health, well-being, and quality of life for all clients, no matter their limitations. Information on Home Care Assistance is at 481-8888. That's 481-8888. And support for 89.7 comes from the Johnson Investment Council, where professionals use an integrated approach to create a customized financial plan for each client. Joyce Waters has more information at 365-9103, Johnson Investment Council. All Sides Weekend continues with Chefs in the City here on 89.7 NPR News.
And we're back. Welcome to Chefs in the City, celebrating local chefs and innovative cuisine here in Central Ohio. And we're talking with our two-person panel of reviewers. Miriam Bowers-Abbott is joining us, along with Rich Terapak. And Miriam is now writing for Columbus Underground. And you had a pretty interesting review this week of Hey Hey.
Oh, the yak place. Yes.
What an unusual thing.
It was for me.
The Hey Hey is in German Village.
Right. It's in German Village. And the Coop, a food truck that was very popular last year, mm-hmm. is now kind of set up shop in the kitchen. So a lot of the offerings that came from the Coop that were very popular are now available on a regular basis at Hey Hey. And so that's kind of what we went to check out, is the Coop at Hey Hey.
So is this an emerging trend now that...
Yak meat?
Well, but the trucks are going into bricks and mortar kitchens and offering their fare in a restaurant.
Right.
Los Gachos did a couple years ago. They still have the truck, but they are also on, is it Go Down?
That sounds right to me, and it makes sense, right? Because you think of trucks as startup operations, and so...
But the nice thing is they're still serving their old community out on the west side and doing the one in Northwest as well, so... which spreads them out a little bit, but so far they've been successful. I don't know if a lot of them have moved inside. I think right now we're seeing a trend for the truckies of getting together and trying to get some better arrangements for themselves from the city of Columbus, opportunities to pull in front of other restaurants, which can be difficult. So I think right now they're concentrating on kind of settling down their game before they move into a lot of facilities. But
well, let's get to that, the regulation of food trucks, in just a moment, though. But one of the reasons I brought up the Hey Hey was kind of a traditional neighborhood bar, and now they're serving, of all things, yak meat.
Yak, and kind of gourmet stuff. I mean, it's not just weird yak, it's sort of gourmet.
Well, what's the difference between
yak
regular yak?
You could just be like, yeah, we got yak meat, whatever. But the kind of attentive preparation. So, you know, short ribs with hash, and the yak burger maybe is not an example of something someone usually thinks of as being... as having a lot of thought invested in it. But, you know, you put arugula on it and a duck egg, and it becomes fancy food in my book.
How was it?
I thought it was good. Mm-hmm. I find yak to be very much like beef, only without beef flavor. Mm-hmm. So it has a beef texture, but not, I would say, even less flavor than turkey. And you know, because turkey sometimes... You know, you can pass it off as beef, and if you're lucky, you hide the turkey flavor. But I would say it doesn't have the beef flavor that I'm accustomed to.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good for you. So that, you know, you just put on the mayonnaise, and I was
happy. Local sourcing yak?
Oh, well, get this. I think it's a really cute story. So the family that owns the Hey Hey has a son, and I, you know, me and Google are best friends, and so I started looking them up, and this son owns the Hey Hey Yak Ranch in Colorado, and so the Coop, before it even had a relationship with the Hey Hey, having a kitchen there, was serving yak meat, and so I guess that must have, you know, the whole relationship must have blossomed when the Yak Ranch parents in the hey.
What are the odds?
Got the yak serving
sounds
poop
like Dr.
together.
Seuss.
It's really cute. It's a cute story.
Yeah, that's great. So, well, who can say that we don't have really creative and edgy cuisine here in Columbus, Ohio? I don't know of many places that are serving yak burgers.
No, I'd never outside of the coop, I don't think of anything.
The only thing I can think of when we have friends who climb mountains and when they're over in like the Himalayas, they live on yak butter.
And I don't know what that sounds like, grease, or is it really from the milk?
But they have to because they use up so much fat in climbing, so they have to eat as much fat as they can. But it's supposed to be horrible, rancid stuff. But so, yeah.
Well, not exactly the endorsement we were looking for.
That was not on the menu.
But I'm sure they're not cooked in yak butter.
No.
So what was the response you were hearing from other diners? If any.
Oh, people love, you know, the Coop had its own fan club going right in. So there were lots of people there when we were there for brunch particularly. And the brunch is also very good and goes beyond just yak stuff. I had some, I would call them crepes, but they call them, and I don't know how to say this without being pretentious, so I'm just going to go for it. Pfannkuchen. How do you say Pfannkuchen without putting on your German accent? Can mm-hmm. you do, I mean, or there's no, it looks like crepes, little rolled up
pancakes.
That's
what it is. It's in German.
But they're rolled, you know, yeah. More like a crepe, and they had Nutella in them, but it was really with a caramelized plantain on top and some really, really thick whipped cream, like the thickest whipped cream I'd ever had in my entire life. That was like my favorite part of, I think, the whole week was a big slob of whipped cream.
And the Hey Hey is located at 361 East Whittier in Germantown.
That's where I was.
So let's get back to food trucks a little bit. Rich, you were on a panel or moderating a panel.
I moderated the panel at the Metropolitan Club.
Last week.
Yeah.
And the subject of regulating food trucks came up. What's the situation here in Columbus?
Well, I think it's being worked out. I think we had a couple of people from the city government in the audience, and they said they were working on it really hard. The problem is that there's real competition. A restaurateur in a fancy restaurant, something in the short north, doesn't enjoy a truck pulling up in front of their place. So they've got all sorts of sides to contend with. There's zoning issues in the event that they have down at the Commons. Parking and access is a mess. I think they are trying to form an organization not unlike Dine Originals, because they are essentially Dine Originals on wheels to better state their case.
So as it stands now, can food trucks rather go anywhere they want, park anywhere they want?
No, I don't think they can park anywhere they want. I think they can go most places, but I'm not sure that they can park all.
Surely, because somebody who owns a business would own their parking lot, and so you'd be quite a surprise to look out one morning and see that your customers couldn't park because you were selling tacos. So I think at the very minimum, you have to get permission from whoever owns the parking lot to park someplace. Right. And I think there are rules about parking on the street, and I don't know what they are, but I think there are certain restrictions.
I think that's
about
part
parking
of their license.
Street.
Process for the city.
So places like Dinan Hall and other little places where trucks can congregate, even
terrific
though it's
places.
A small number, that does help to ease the problem.
It does. And the fact that Dinan Hall rotates, who's parked there almost on a weekly basis, gives us a lot of opportunity, those of us who are downtown, to try a lot of different locations without actually getting on Google and finding out where they are.
We're talking with Marian Bowers Abbott of Columbus Underground.
That's right.
And Rich Terapak, who does food reviews here at WOSU. And we'll begin blogging eventually on a website that
very
we're
soon.
Also calling Chefs in the City. What other kinds of restaurants have you been to recently?
I'm so excited about this because two times ago when I was here, I can't remember, but someone called and said they couldn't find any vegetarian restaurants that they liked. And although we found on the panel, we agreed that we thought there were some good options, I have a new one that is, I'd say, the most extreme in terms of things that it doesn't serve that I've ever been
no
to.
No honey?
No. Oh, I think there's honey. That's the only thing. But wait, no, wait. I'm still going to impress you. It's organic, non-GMO. Gluten-free, lots of raw, and vegan. I don't think No, I've never been to a place in my entire life that has that many things that aren't served.
Okay, what's the name of it?
Enough teasing, Miriam. it's called Porsche's Cafe, and it's of course in Clintonville because mm-hmm. we are the kind of people that would go for that. And it's really cute. And
now, did this start out at the Clintonville market?
It did. I think the owner used to be. Used to sell things both at the farmer's market and then maybe at the mm-hmm. natural food store in our neighborhood. And I have to say, she is a great spokesmodel for that style of living. I saw her, and her entire self makes me look like the Pillsbury Doughboy.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, she's got muscles.
I would, hope somebody streams this.
I couldn't stop cheering. I thought, if I eat like this, wow. I mean, that's the best advertisement of all because, you know, if someone looks like the picture of health and vitality, uh-huh. thinking, okay.
Well, you do.
Well, if you stood me next to her, you'd say, okay, tell me what she's doing. And the food was interesting. There are some guacamole, you know, anyone okay. can do that. But
hummus,
that's smart
probably.
To have. And there was hummus. I didn't love the hummus as much as I loved the guacamole. And then there was this weird thing that had artichoke hearts. It was like a dip. There's lots mm-hmm. of dippy things, you know.
Baba ganoush kind of stuff. And
maybe that's what it was close to. It was just a giant green mushy dip that included mm-hmm. artichoke hearts and collard greens. And
the name again?
Porsche's Cafe. It's on the corner of Weisheimer and Indianola, so it's sort of the Beechwold area between Morse and Cook.
And Rich, you're downtown every day. What's going on down there?
Let's see. We've talked about a couple of the new spots. We've talked about Manifesto a couple times. We all know that Natalie's has changed its name to Hey Paul, and that's Paul Yao's place. Paul was the chef for, I think, 14 years at Barcelona.
And has that hurt or helped the restaurant?
We were there the other day having lunch with a couple of my law partners, and it was pretty much packed, which was great. They continue to do great stuff. I had a pulled pork sandwich, and somebody else had a chicken mung bean salad kind of thing. So it's a great fusion of flavors. They do a little bit of everything. Paul's wife is Korean, and so they have some Korean fare. Recently checked in, have to go back another couple times, I think, to Arch City, which is in the Short North. I think it's in the 800 block. Very attractive place. It's one of these what's become very popular as a food style these days, or gastro bars, which are lots of different kinds of beers, some decent wines, usually a favorite drink or two, and then some food. But the food is better than just bar food. I had the mussels; they were pretty darn good, and some interesting beers.
That's Arch City.
Arch City. I think it's at 820 or something like that. Short North. Beautiful place. They've got a mural on the wall that's must have taken about 3 months to put up there. But yeah, and it was really hopping on a Thursday night, I think. So,
and the North Market has a new executive director.
They do, Mr. Wolf.
Sorry?
Mr. Wolf.
And he started in a food truck. Or maybe he didn't start in a food truck. But I saw the connection between him and the cheesy truck. Is mm-hmm. that right? Mm-hmm. And I thought that was, you know, sort of hinges on something you're saying about food trucks being kind of the it thing right now. He's right. He's all over that. He'll
His
know
name
what to
is
do.
Rick Harrison Wolf, and he will be replacing David Weibel, mm-hmm. who was very popular did some phenomenal things at the market. How difficult is it going to be to follow him?
Big shoes to fill. David was a presence, I think, in the community. He was a good advocate for not only the market but the vendors there. I think he was well liked, and you know, you can see from the success of the North Market that he must have been a pretty good administrator. So I think he'll be missed, but let's hope. Rick, who has a pretty varied background, and certainly some of that was food.
He does, and he has a varied background in marketing as well, mm-hmm. as well as the cheesy truck. And he's a Grandview Heights native, so he does have, obviously, knowledge of the community. Mm-hmm. So we certainly wish him well. How big a job is that?
I think it's a pretty big job. I'm trying to remember how many vendors they have at North Market. It's a big number. They've got a very active board as well that he, of course, has to help manage. There's marketing issues. They do, as you know, seasonal things, not only the farmers markets in season, but the chili cook-offs and those kinds of things in the winter. It's probably a six-day-a-week job, if not more, and probably very long days.
I think Mary Martineau, you know, as a PR person, mm-hmm. will make it a seamless transition. I mean,
I think her
presence there. She's also very, a big figure at the North Market, and I'm sure, you know,
it's nice to have the rest of the staff around, and they've built a good staff. Yeah. That's for sure.
Well, one of the inherent problems it would seem to me is that these are all independent business owners who perhaps want to make their own rules and be open the times they want to be open. But they're all under the auspices of the North Market, and there has to be some common business operation going on there.
I think there's enough interest in being a vendor there that people will learn to live with the rules, essentially. If they want to be there and be part of the scene, they have to go along with the hours, which it's reasonable to limit those to some extent.
Yeah, and you sign a contract. It's like you sign a lease, and here are the things you can do.
So you agree, right at the front about what you're going, how you're going to operate.
Yeah.
292-8513. You're listening to All Sides Weekend Chefs in the City. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. As we mentioned, this is farmers market season. It's starting to get underway. And is the Clintonville market open already?
I think Clintonville is open, and I feel like Worthington is, if it's not open yet, it will be in a week or two. So, and I live right between two heavens. So the scene should be really good within a week or two, I think.
What are we going to find at the farmer's market this early? Are we going to find asparagus?
I think about asparagus, and then I think about the strawberry lines. Those have got to be coming soon. And I know people who get to the farmer's markets an hour early to go stand in line for farmer's market strawberries.
Yeah.
So, I like strawberries, but not quite enough to stand in line for an hour.
The first warm week that we've had spring, I would think the growing season is a little bit behind.
There was
snow in Minnesota yesterday.
I have kale. Actually, if I were a farmer, I could sell kale right now because my kale from last year held over. And it doesn't get bitter. It does. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I bought the weird heirloom seeds. But I've got enough kale right now. Yeah,
kale's used in just about everything these days. By the way, you see it so often on menus.
I'm all about the kale chips. That's the
Roberta made some of those. They're good.
Yeah, they're addictive.
Kale is a little bit bitter, isn't it?
A little.
Okay, just as a type. I was going to say, it can be, but if you salt it and bake it and cover it in olive oil, it's all good.
So if you camouflage it.
That's right.
Let's get back to markets for a second. There are many farmers markets springing up all over the place. Some of these are small roadside operations. Some are larger. Of course, these farmers are also supplying, in many cases, local restaurants who are relying on local organic food in some cases, locally grown food in many cases. How much can they produce?
Well, it's interesting because, you know, we think of Ohio as being, it's farming is the biggest industry in the state. But that kind of farming is agribusiness. So, it's to develop smaller farms, maintain them, can be a challenge. We know that Franklin County and the city of Columbus, SMSA, is now stretched, I think, into Licking County and Fairfield County and a few others. So with the spread of housing, it can be challenging. But I think there's still a lot of folks. And just the exercise of growing some of this stuff. You know, John Christensen, our friend who's the critic for the Dispatch, he and his wife Mary do a ton. I don't know how much acreage they have, but they do a lot of stuff.
They have orchards. Yeah. That's what I remember, orchards.
Yeah. So, you know, it's enough of a movement, I think, to help maintain this for a while. Local Matters would probably be a good folks to talk with about that.
292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. We will take a break here and be right back.
On the next Fresh Air, a talk with Bradley Cooper. His film Silver Linings Playbook is now out on DVD. In theaters, he's starring in the drama The Place Beyond the Pines. Also, film critic David Edelstein reviews Iron Man 3, starring Robert Downey Jr., Gwyneth Paltrow, and Don Cheadle. Join us. And Fresh Air begins in 20 minutes. It starts at noon on 89.7 NPR News. Sunshine today, a high of 76. More sunshine for the weekend. The Newark Granville Symphony performs joyous works that celebrate the arrival of spring this Sunday at 7 in Newark's Midland Theater, including Beethoven Symphony No. 2 and Brahms' Symphony No. 2. Tickets and more information at ngsymphony.org or at the Midland box office at 740-345-LIVE. And support comes from Columbus Food Adventures, offering guided tours of Columbus's food scene. Columbus Food Adventures offers 7 distinct eating tours, including itineraries focused on ethnic cuisine, historic neighborhoods, and taco trucks. Group or private tours available. More information and tickets at columbusfoodadventures.com. And All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City continues on 89.7 NPR News.
And welcome back. I'm Marilyn Smith. This is All Sides Weekend, Chefs in the City. We're talking with WOSU food reviewer Rich Terapak and Miriam Bowers-Abbott of Columbus Underground. We are approaching summer holiday season, as well as all of these markets and whatnot. And is it the Derby or Cinco de Mayo that comes up first?
The Derby's Saturday and Cinco is Sunday, I believe.
It's a big eating weekend.
Yeah, big eating. So you can start off with, I think it was NPR this morning, had somebody with their... what's the drink we always drink at the... I just lost it.
Mint julep.
The mint julep. It had a mint julep with a jalapeno in it, so you could kind of just kind of hold them over for the next day and have some for Cinco de Mayo as well. It sounded really good.
Or horse meat for Cinco de Mayo if the race doesn't go well for
some. Well, that's a lovely
story. You knew I was going to go there. You knew it would happen.
Yeah. 292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@wosu.org. And Dee is joining us from Clintonville. Good morning, Dee.
Yes, good morning. A while ago, you were talking about the food trucks, and I just wanted to let you know that the City Council announced yesterday that this coming Wednesday, May the 8th at 5 o'clock at City Council Chambers, they are going to be having a presentation by Public Safety that's going to outline the program about how they're going to treat mobile food vendors, including food trucks, push carts, and ice cream trucks.
Oh, very interesting.
Yeah. So is this a kind of a public hearing?
Yes, it is. And it's going to, speaker slips are available if people want to address. It's conducted by Councilmember Mills, and speaker slips can be picked up that day up until 5:30, and it will begin at 5 o'clock at City Council Chambers in City Hall.
Well, thank you.
That's great information. Thank you. I'm sure there'll be some listeners who will be there.
Well, yeah, I think it's really important that people know what kind of policy they're thinking about putting in place for all the food vendors.
Yeah, particularly the consumers.
Yes.
Do you have any idea what they're thinking about?
Not particularly. I don't. I think this is going to be their big rollout of, because they've been looking at the issue for a while. And so I think this is going to be the rollout to let people know what they're thinking and to get feedback on what they're thinking. But I just want to let people know, because I think the bigger the turnout, the better it will be for everyone concerned, not only the vendors, but as you said, we consumers.
That's exactly right. I think, you know, they've got to do something quick. We've got over, I think, over 100 food trucks now. So it's
we do. So it's about time we got it figured out.
Right.
Okay. I just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And that's a city council meeting May 8th. That's next Wednesday, I believe, in the evening. 292-8513 if you'd like to join the discussion this morning, or you can email us at WOSU at allsides@wosu.org. So
Cinco de Mayo
is Sunday, and what everybody seems to go out, if you are near the Short North, you'll see patios full of drinkers and diners.
Let's see. What
it's really better when it's on a Friday or a Saturday, since it is a drinking holiday. Because Monday is that's a hard awakening for a lot of festivities on Sunday, especially when you have all day Sunday.
Well, if you're drinking light Corona, it's okay.
We don't have any plans, though.
We're going to be, we'll have dinner. The kids come over every Sunday, so we'll be doing something thematic about that. But you're right, there are a lot of great places around. One of my favorite, and I don't know if it's open on Sunday, maybe they can tell us, is Cuco's up on Henderson Road. I think they'd be able to, hopefully their license allows them to serve those great margaritas that day.
292-8513. And this used to be kind of, maybe some people were aware of it in the United States, but this has become huge.
And bigger in the United States than in Mexico.
Much like St. Patrick's Day
exactly.
is bigger in the United States than Ireland.
Yeah. My administrative assistant, Carol Flores, has a Hispanic background, Mexican background. And I asked her a couple years ago, what are you doing? She said, really, not much. It's not a big deal for Hispanic, so.
Well, our population has shifted. Even if the Hispanic population doesn't celebrate it, as a
the
multicultural,
influence is
there. It's changed a lot. I think Columbus. I feel like it didn't have any Mexican restaurants. What 15 years ago?
Nothing to speak of.
I can remember when it came time. What can I do to diversify what I'm writing about in the late 90s? I was like, well, can't really hit Toledo's again, and that was pretty much all I had for Mexican restaurants. And now they're everywhere. And I'm glad because I'd come from Texas where, there was a lot of great Mexican food. And now that's in Columbus. And that's great news.
Did Toledo's ever resurface any place?
It was going to resurface a 30-second walk from my house. And I was so happy because what could be better than having cheap, abundant food 30 seconds from my house. And now it's going to remanifest itself about 10 minutes south of my house. So it's now moved to one of the places that used to hold a burger barn that's north of campus but a little bit south of Clintonville. And that's my understanding will be the next location of Toledo's.
And when can we expect that?
I stopped caring when it wasn't going to be right next to me. I was all excited for a while, but they sucked away my joy. That's right. It's a long walk.
Well, and if this weekend weren't enough, then we have Mother's Day coming up the following weekend, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right.
Or is it the third weekend?
No, I think it's a week from Sunday, I believe.
Mothers like chocolate. I'm just putting out there in case anyone's listening.
If the kids are listening.
Obviously, it's a very, very popular night to go out and eat. So mom doesn't, pardon me, have to go into the kitchen and whip up something fantastic. Do you relish that or is it too much of a hassle?
I'm a control freak. So as long as we go someplace where I have an insane amount of control over what I eat.
Doesn't look it.
I'll let that go. It's all good. I think brunch is a really popular thing to do on Mother's Day, and a lot of restaurants offer special brunches in honor of the event. So I think oftentimes more of the celebrating is done in the morning than in the evening, at least kind of in my neighborhood.
Yeah.
Well, and that may be easier with small children, obviously. You don't have to rush home and get them off to bed and whatnot.
That's right.
Yeah. Any ideas for Mother's Day brunch?
For a place to go for Mother's Day brunch? I'm thinking the Worthington Inn usually has a pretty spectacular
one. Oh, they have a nice one. And the Hilton downtown, I'm still curious about that because you've been to the new Hilton,
right? Yeah, a couple times, a few times.
And I bet they would have an incredible brunch.
The fellow who brought you the good food at Sage is now the executive chef at the Hilton Bistro, right? The new Hilton in the Short North across from the convention center. It's really good food, really good.
And Latitude 41 usually has an Easter brunch. I don't know if they carry that over to Mother's Day
as
well.
And they're doing good things as well. It recommended them to some friends from, I think it was North Carolina. They come up from North Carolina. And they'd never been downtown in Columbus, and I recommended Latitude, and they just had a great time. So
292-8513. We're talking about food and restaurants on Chefs in the City, All Sides Weekend. We're talking with Marion Bowers-Abbott of Columbus Underground and Rich Tarapak, who does food reviews here at WOSU with a blog to come eventually. We're working on that.
Within days. Nick promises within days.
Nick Hauser is our...
lots of submissions. I think they got enough material for the initial, the initial blog. Keeping it up will be fun. We'll have to have some guest artists like Miriam.
Oh, I have lots of opinions. You need an opinion. I'm your girl.
After Mother's Day, of course, is Father's Day, which is not nearly as celebrated for some odd reason as is Mother's Day. Do you have any plans yet?
Do not. I'm hoping, you know, the two boys, one of whom cooks really well, will kind of throw something together. He usually does. The one who couldn't be here today because of work usually grills something out and really treats me pretty well for that event.
We always get ribs. We always get some kind of carry-out ribs make.
Some kind of red meat.
Yes. And I like City Barbecue. You know, I think about ribs for both Father's Day and also Memorial Weekend. That's an important part of both of them.
Yeah.
And City Barbecue is one place that we like. And we've also liked the new Gallows place. It's like a year old, but new relative to some places.
Old and Tangy?
River Road. That's their sandwich place. And then they have they took over a Hoggies on 161. Huh. And they smoke meat intensely there. And I always, when I look for ribs, I like the smoky
Texas.
Flavor. Yes. Yeah. So some people like the wet ribs that are, I don't really care if they're
with
wet
the
or not.
Them,
I just want them very smoky, and Gallows does that too.
And you were telling me during the break that you had something interesting at Need recently.
Bacon balls. It is.
We can always count on Miriam to come up with
it. It's fun to say, number one.
Better than those chips we had at Christmas.
I know. I brought no goodies today. They're really interesting because, when you know that it's really something you can order, you'd expect it to be a lot of breading because bacon isn't a meat that I think of like ground beef that you can pad into a little ball, but it is like when you bite into it, you're like, this is all bacon. So
really?
Somehow, yes, they and it's not crunchy like well done bacon. It's cooked, you know. So it's not
chewy.
It's not fatty because that would gross me out. So it's just
kind of hard to believe.
Yeah,
not that it would gross you out, but that they could do it without.
I know. Fatty. I know. It's like you're just my patience. So it's really lean meat, and then it's got a little crispy shell, it's been breadcrumbed or something. And then they fry it in these perfect little circles. And then you get the mustard sauce. And I never really thought I would want mustard with bacon because that doesn't sound right. But it's like a smoky, barbecue-y mustard sauce.
Ooh, that sounds terrific.
Yeah, I'm not even usually a sauce person. But that combo of the little bacon ball in the smoky mustard sauce is to die for.
What did you get with this? Oh. Do you eat eggs with this? What do you eat?
No, do you know what?
She had hash browns.
The desserts are really good at Need, too.
So
you had bacon balls and dessert.
The bacon was kind of lean. It didn't scream Paula Deen at me. Do you know? It wasn't like that greasy. So
Paula's
whatever he's
reformed,
using.
Paula's reformed, no. Yeah.
So I endorse that. That's good. And they offer weekend food. I don't know if they have Sunday brunch, but that might be a place to look into on Mother's Day, too. They have some cute things.
And this is Need. It's near the Short North.
It's right across. It's actually in the Hampton Inn building. It's not related to the Hampton at all. It's just south of the Greek church on North High Street.
Yeah, a little diner. It's cute.
Mm-hmm. And parking, is that a problem?
You know, it's always a problem in that neighborhood. I think they cope with it as well as any of the rest. I don't know if they're doing valet or not. I hope so.
Is across from the convention center, which I'm sure brings a lot of traffic.
Yeah, it's true.
From there.
That's
good. I'm at a point where I park in the Arena District and walk to the Short North because it's too much drama for me. I have a low threshold for parking excitement. And I know there'll be a space for me in the Arena District. And so I go where I know there'll be a space for me, and I'd walk the 5-minute walk north.
And if you're going during the day before 6 o'clock, you can park on Park, which is the east border of Goodale at the meters.
The meter rules have changed.
They no longer give you an hour for a quarter, but I think it's probably 20 minutes for a quarter. That's only about 2.5 blocks away or 2 blocks away from that restaurant. Outdoor dining season is starting. And I noticed, for instance, downtown we have Manifesto just put up its stuff on May 1st. Need has a little stretch outside as well. And there are a ton of those places. That's probably another topic for another day. But it's always fun. And our friends at Barcelona probably have opened theirs by now, which I think is the best around.
They're on my to-get-to list. I haven't been to Barcelona in forever, and I imagine it's...
Scott's still doing a good job of managing it. I don't know the new chef since Paul is now at his own place, but we'll have to meet.
292-8513, and we're being joined by, I hope I don't mispronounce this, Argel of Columbus.
This is Norgel Dada.
Okay, and what would you like to talk about?
Well, I was just going to mention that, you know, since you guys were talking about all the different foods in Columbus, there's an Afghan restaurant. It's called Cafe Kabul.
Been there.
Oh, it's
near
right
the studio.
Down the street, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I just wanted to mention that to the audience. It's, you know, it's a unique food. It's a little bit different than what you have in town. I mean, it's a blend of Mediterranean and probably a little bit of spices from India. So,
mm-hmm. It's in the University
Shopping Center
on the south end.
Correct.
Yeah,
it's right on the corner of Ackerman. As you enter the shopping center, so kind of across from Applebee's.
Yeah, it used to be a Dairy Queen, and mm-hmm. I think they just remodeled that.
Haven't been there in a while. I have to go back. It's been open for a couple of years, I believe, hasn't it?
Yeah, about 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, thank you very much for your call today. And as I recall, when we went there, people ahead of us were there for a hero, maybe. I remember the woman being in tears because they were out. And we thought, well, they must be pretty phenomenal if someone's actually moved to tears because they can't get one.
Yeah. So go early and often, right?
Thanks so much for your call today, 292-8513. You can also email us at allsides@allsides.com. We are now going to Chris, who's calling from Westerville. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. Yeah, I want to give a shout out to a little place in Pickerington. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's the Village Crepe. Crepe as in, you know, the little thin pancake things. And they do a brunch pretty much, but I think they got some lunch items. But we went there the other weekend, and it's just really great stuff. Everything is really fresh, great ingredients, homemade sausage, fresh squeezed orange juice, the whole bit. So
it's kind of a breakfast brunch place, or
yeah, primarily, mm-hmm. yeah. And I'll be honest with you, I was just kind of focused on the crepes because they, you know, that's on their name. I just thought I'd go with what they kind of advertise and sell as.
Good plan.
And I'm gonna go by my son happens to have a track meet out there tomorrow, so I'm gonna make sure I swing by there afterwards with him. But so I'll make sure I look at the menu a little more extensively and see what else they got going on. But everything we had, we just kind of hit the whole breakfast crepe thing last time, and everything was just awesome. And if you do go, you can build your own crepe. But from my experience, just last time, I would go with what they suggest. Let's go with one of their pre-suggested items that they have. The four cheese is really good, and they have a lemon curd crepe with a blackberry kind of sauce on top that's just outstanding.
Terrific.
Really great.
And tell us the name and the location again, please.
It's in Pickerington. I want to say it's up in Old Pickerington. I want to say it's on Main Street. Hard to miss that. But once again, it's Village and then Crepe, C-R-E-P-E. Mm-hmm. And the people are great. I mean, you can just tell it's just owned by, you know, maybe a family with some, you know, other people working there, but everybody's real friendly. It's great service, good place, got a nice atmosphere. They even have a little patio.
Terrific. Good place for Mother's Day.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, what is up with the Father's Day, Mother's Day
thing? I know.
I do want to agree with you. Barcelona's patio in the summer with a pitcher of sangria, you can't get better in Columbus.
Yeah.
So, all right. You guys have a great day.
Thank you for that suggestion and your call today. We've been talking with Rich Terapak, who does food reviews here at WOSU, along with Marian Bowers Abbott, who writes food reviews for Columbus Underground. We will remind you one more time that Taste of Dine Originals is May 9th at the Capital University Fieldhouse. And do you know the hours offhand?
It's 6 to 9. And it's on Pleasant Ridge.
Okay. Mm-hmm. This is listener-supported WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1 Columbus. Streaming on the web at WOSU.org, 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station, a service of WOSU Public Media. I'm Marilyn Smith. We'll be back next month. It's 12 o'clock. News is next from NPR.
Support comes from the Columbus Metropolitan Club presenting their weekly forum. Wednesday at noon, it's The Educating Equation in Search of Better Results, a forum featuring Richard Ross, the Ohio Superintendent of Public Instruction, and Mark Reel, the President and CEO of KidsOhio.org. For more information, visit ColumbusMetroClub.org.